Genesis chapter 4, I want to show you Hebrews chapter number 11. And what I did, I wanted to show you something here in chapter number 11. Go to chapter 11, verse number 1, if you will. There it is. And now, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, we've been studying faith and walking by faith and not by sight. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. You've practiced faith walking in the building today. You practiced faith when you got into your car and you turned the key and you just expected it to start. By faith, you got into your car and you expected it to go somewhere. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then go to the next, let me show you what it says here in verse 4 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then verse 5 says, by faith Enoch. Look at verse 7, by faith Noah. And then verse 8, by faith Abraham. And then the next page, and then it says, by faith Abraham. And then it says, by faith Isaac. And then by faith Jacob. And then at the very bottom, you may not can see it, but it says, by faith Joseph. So what this does in Hebrews chapter number 11 is what they call the hall of faith. You may be familiar with the Hall of Fame. And everybody's got a Hall of Fame. I was reading somewhere, they were having a hog calling Hall of Faith, or Hall of Fame, rather. And tobacco spitting, who could spit the furthest, and who's in the Hall of Fame for that? All these different kinds of things went a Hall of Fame, but this in the Bible is a Hall of Faith. All of these men and women that are in Hebrews chapter number 11. That's not all of them. That's just a few I wanted to show you. But it says by faith they did this. By faith they practiced what they actually believed. And there's two main divisions here in Hebrews chapter 11. I'll get to preaching here in just a minute. But in Hebrews 11, that first verse we looked at is the definition of faith. And then verse 4 through verse 40 is the demonstration of faith. And God shows this demonstration through 17 different people, individuals, men and women. And he not only explains faith, but he exemplifies faith. He not only defines faith by definition, but he demonstrates faith by the lives of real people who lived in a real world, who faced a real devil, fought a real problem, and come out on the other side. People look at Christians and they say, I don't know how in the world you got through such and such. It's by faith. How in the world can you go through what you've been through? That's why Hebrews 11 is in the Bible. Because if they can face a real devil, if they can face a real problem and come out on the other side, what is the key ingredient? By faith, Abel. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. And it's all by faith, these characters. But here in Genesis chapter number 4, now we'll go here. I will just set it all up for Genesis chapter 4. Now watch this. The first one we're going to look at, and we're not going to look at all of these this morning, but we're going to look at this first one. It was by faith, Abel. In Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1, I hope you're ready. And Abraham knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. She's raising Cain. The devil's raising Cain, but God is Abel. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground on an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, very wroth. and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which thou hast opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible is verse number 16. And it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Went out from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that sad? And dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, right now that you'd help us for the next few minutes. We'll try to get these points across if we can for the next little bit. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 4, God compares two of these brothers. Some say they were twins. Adam knew his wife once, and he bare two kids. She bore two kids, Cain and Abel. It appears like they possibly could be twins. I don't know. But this is one thing I do know. We have two boys. We have two sons. We have two sacrifices. And then I want to show you the sin. And then I want to show you the sentence that was passed down from not bringing the right sacrifices. Here's something I want to show you. Both of these boys went to church. Do you see them bringing a sacrifice? They both came to worship the Lord. Both of them came to church. You know, we're not dealing with atheists. We're not dealing with God rejectors. We're dealing with two boys that are actually coming to church to worship God. And when they came to church, they brought something with them. But God treated both of them differently. Why? They came to worship God. They came to church. And ladies and gentlemen, there are two ways to worship. Here we see two ways to worship. There are two different kinds of churches. You remember I posted, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, 4,200 different religions and one empty tomb. 4,200 different religions and one empty tomb. But can I say this? As we drive down the streets of Dyersburg and out here in Millsfield, you'll pass church after church after church. And this one believes this, and this one does this, and this one this. And all there's umpteen thousand churches in all of America and all over the world. But can I submit to you? There's actually only two. There's churches that do it God's way. And there's churches that does it Cain's way. There's only two. You say, well, there's 109 different kind of churches in Dyersburg. It doesn't make any difference. There's only two kind. One that does it God's way and one that does it Cain's way. There's only two religions in the world. One that does it God's way. The other does it Cain's way. You say, well, they preach this and they do this. It doesn't make any difference. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say these boys are just doing what they do, doing the best they can. You think about this. Cain and Abel, did they know what kind of sacrifice to bring? Can you imagine those growing up, those two twins, growing up in the house of Adam and Eve? Those two boys are from Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve are raising these boys, and all of a sudden, Cain and Abel look over there, and there's a big cherubim with a sword drawn. He's guarding the Garden of Eden, and they can't go in. And the boys don't know why. And they say, Dad, sit down and explain to us why we can't go in there. And Adam says, well, it's your mama's fault. Thomas said, yeah, that was a bad place to say amen, Thomas. It was your mama's fault. But no, the boy says, Dad, why can't we go in there anymore? And Dad probably has to say, and Adam looks at his boy and says, boys, we used to live in there. We used to live in the presence of God. We used to walk with God in the cool of the day in that Garden of Eden over there. We used to. And then all of a sudden, the devil came in and got us to question God's word, got us to do it another way. And we took of that fruit, that forbidden fruit, and then we saw ourselves naked. And you know what we did, boys? We went over there. We cut some trees down. We made us some fig leaves. And we made us, I'm talking about some clothes that J.C. Penney's would have been proud of. But something we found out was that every time a leaf would fall off, we'd have to keep putting back and keep covering. And every time a leaf would fall off, we'd have to get another limb to cover what fell off yesterday. And it seemed like our work was never done. But God came in the garden one day and we were scared because we knew we disobeyed Him. And we went and hid. We heard God calling out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam knew where we were. Or excuse me, God knew where we were. He was just wanting us to see where we were. And God came through there and we were scared because we knew we had disobeyed God. Now boys, listen to me. I'm telling you. God did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. God looked at our work and our clothes and He says, that ain't going to work. It'll never work. It'll never cover. So God took two little lambs and He killed those lambs and He skinned those lambs and made us coats of skin and clothed us. We've never had to replace anything. It's work. These are the same clothes we got on today, boys. Our work would never do it. But all when God done it, it fixed the problem. And God says, no longer can we live in the Garden of Eden. Now He's put a sword, a cherubim with a sword swinging so we can't get in there anymore. Boys, it is important to know how to worship God the right way. Parents, it is important to raise and teach our kids the importance of worshiping God the right way. But Cain and Abel, when they grew up, they knew the truth. They knew the story that was told in the Garden of Eden. And it come time to worship God. Abel. Abel was a shepherd. He was a keeper of the sheep, a keeper of animals. You know, you think this is odd. Abel was a shepherd. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my. Matter of fact, Abel brought not a sheep that he was fixing to kill anyway. He brought the firstling of the flock. I'm talking about the best of the best because God deserves the best. And he brought that lamb and he killed that lamb and he shed that blood on that altar. And God looked down and He had respect unto Abel's offering because it was a blood sacrifice, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Cain was a farmer. There's nothing wrong with being a farmer by any means, but he brought fruit and vegetables and turnips. You ever heard the phrase, you can't get blood out of a turnip? That's a phrase that came out of the Bible. That actual phrase is not in the Bible. But the reason God rejected Cain's offering, because you can't get blood out of a turnip. And he brought, I've always said this in a joking way, but in some sense it does have some significance. Cain brought a salad, and God rejects the salad. God don't even like salads. I got Bible for that. Man, that'll help some of you vegetarians out. I'm telling you. God accepts meat. Woo! A blood sacrifice. It had to be blood. There's only two ways to worship. And Abel brought and says, I remember the story that Mom and Dad told us about God requiring blood. I'm going to give Him my best. But Cain came to church. He worshiped God and he said, you know what? Mom and Dad, they live in the old days and that was back two chapters ago. We're living in chapter 4 now, and there ought to be a new way to worship God. You know, I think we ought to do it a different kind of way. I think I ought to be able to do it my own way. I think I don't have to listen to what mom and dad says. I think I ought to be able to do. I really don't like anybody telling me what to do anyway. I really don't like, I don't like the Bible. It's too absolute. There's too many absolute truths in here, and I want to do it my way, and this right here is too narrow. There's got to be a better way to worship God. But John chapter 4 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, both of these boys came to worship. They both came to church. One brought of a lamb sacrifice, blood sacrifice, and Cain brought of his own work. Now, in this church this morning, all across this church, we have some Abels in here, and you have some Cains in here. I hope we have more Abels than we have Cains. But there are people that go to church that actually think them walking through those doors back there is making them good for heaven. Boy, I'm not getting a response. I thought this was a good sermon. By faith, Abel. By faith, Abel. And so there are people that come and they come down and they shake the preacher's hand and they sign the card and they get the vacation Bible school pins from the armpit down to their ankle. All the way down. And they think, look, God, look how good I'm doing. And God says, look. God says, the best you can do is filthy rags to me. God's not looking for what you can do. God's looking for what He's already done. All other religions, you think about this, all other religions is you have to die for your master or whoever it is. You have to get into planes and you have to run those planes into buildings and die for your maker. But my maker came to this world to die for me. Big difference. He came as that good shepherd, that chief shepherd. And He said, I'll lay my life down for the sheep. You see, folks, there are two ways to worship. There's God's way, and there's Cain's way. Even the book of Jude tells us, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Cain represents a modernist. Cain represents a humanist. Cain represents somebody that wants to do it their way, not God's way. They're two offerings. They're two offerings has been explained. There's a blood offering. There's a blood sacrifice. It's always been by the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. Why? Because that's what God requires. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I didn't come to church this morning so I could be saved and accepted by God. He won't accept that. But when I did come, I brought a sacrifice. You say, well, I didn't see it. He lives on the inside of here, and it's a sacrifice that died on the cross. You say, you didn't bring a lamb. I sure did. Bible says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So everybody in the room, everybody that's sitting in church this morning, all across the world, you've got people that are Cains, and you have people that are Abels. Some people that are the Abels, they're sitting in church and they know they're no good. God, I'm nothing without you. That's why I'm bringing what you require. So you'll accept not me, but you'll accept the offering that you've already done on the cross. And then there are those. You ever notice this and you ask people, and you say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Now you just take a poll sometime. Ask somebody at work. Ask somebody at the break table. Ask somebody at school. Whatever you want to do. Ask, are you 100% for sure? Are you going to heaven when you die? And see what they say next. Whatever they say next is what they're depending on to get them to heaven. You say, are you 100% for sure? And this is what most people say. Yes, I'm a member of such and such church. Are you 100% sure? Yes, I was baptized in the First Baptist Church of whatever. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yes. I remember I taught Sunday school for many years. I didn't ask you if you taught Sunday school. I didn't ask you what church membership you were. I didn't ask where you were baptized. I didn't ask all of that stuff. You're bringing stuff Cain brought of his own. Church membership, that's something I do. Getting baptized, that's something I do. Teaching Sunday school, that's something I do. But God's looking for something He did. And there are Abels that are sitting in here going, oh no, I know I'll never get to heaven on my own. The only way I'm coming, the way Abel came. By faith, Abel. Matter of fact, over there in Hebrews chapter 11, it says God accepted Abel, and it says that God testified. Man, you won't find anywhere in the Bible. Listen, where God stands up and raises His right hand and tells the truth, and He testifies on behalf of Abel. Isn't that something? I'm testifying on behalf of Abel. He brought what was required. Now, let me tidy up the sermon by saying this and giving you an old illustration. There's a lot of things that I could say about Cain and Abel, but I think you got the gist of it. You say, both those boys came to church. They did. That's a good thing to go to church. It don't save you, but it's good to go to church. Hey, you ought to raise your family in church. You ought to raise your kids in church. Ought to. You should. You should raise them in church. They ought to be in church, but that won't make them fit for heaven. Hey, I got news for you. I hate to upset and turn over the apple cart, but you can have your baby sprinkled on top of the head when they're born and all that stuff. That don't make them fit for heaven. I don't mean to upset you and all of that. You can sprinkle them all day long, and it ain't going to do nothing for them as far as heaven's concerned. Amen. We're living in a day where we're going to have to get really, really down to where the rubber meets the road with folks. Because they've been told everything under the sun and how to get to heaven. I'm just telling you, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I am the door, and there ain't but one door, and the only way to get in that door is to go through Jesus. It's the only way to go. Now, the illustration. The problem with these two boys, they both came to church. They both brought a sacrifice. That's good. Give them a hand for that. But the problem was, it was a matter of the heart. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was the heart. Now I'm coming down to close. Watch this. You say, was Abel's sacrifice, is that what saved him? No. Let me show you. His heart had already made that sacrifice before he ever killed the animal. Let me prove what I'm saying. I could come down here to the right here. I could come down the aisle and right over there where Brother Charlie Vaughn is sitting. And boy, I could just haul off and kick it. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I won't do that. Number one, I love it. Number two, he kicks back. But get this. I can walk down there and go over and just kick him. And y'all say, oh, look at that. But I kicked him in my heart before I ever walked down the steps. Y'all see it? Before the act ever took place, I already done it in my... There's the kicker. You know why Abel brought the right offering? Because his heart was right. You know why Cain brought the wrong offering? Because his heart wasn't right. Now, you say this. We go out there and find us a pig. Go in a pot-bellied pig. We bring him in here. Before we bring him in here now,
He's going to have to look the part. He's going to have to look like a church member. So we're going to have to wash him up. We have to give him a bath. We have to put some cologne on him. And put a bow tie around him. And I'm talking about really, I mean, put that extra curl in the pig's tail. And boy, when he comes in here, man, y'all going to say, man, he smells good. He looks good. And we're going to sit him right here on this second row right here, or this second chair right here. And we're going to give him a hymn book. And son, I'm telling you, he might even oink every now and then. While I'm preaching, he might even say, oink, oink. And boy, y'all say, boy, he's in the service. Woo! He's enjoying the preaching. And he would look like everybody. He'd sound like everybody. He'd smell like everybody else. But as soon as we say amen and amen, you're dismissed. He's going to walk out that door and find the first mud hole he can find. Because that's where his heart was. Now watch. Before he ever made it to the mud hole, his heart was in the mud hole setting up here on the church row. Now that's good preaching whether y'all like it or not. I'm going to have to amen my own self. His heart, he was sitting there in church. His heart was in the hog pen before he ever got out in the hog pen. Because he had a heart problem. But now you take a sheep. You bring a sheep in here, and boy, I mean, you can do. Now, sheep, they're very clean. You won't find them wallowing around. You won't find a sheep wallowing around in the mud hole. That's just their heart. They want to be clean. Pigs like mud because that's their heart. We're going somewhere. You say, preacher, what if I got that pig's heart in me right now? And right now, while you're preaching, I'm thinking about a mud hole I can get in next Friday night. I've been invited to this mud hole that I'm supposed to be at the party at. And boy, I'm going to be at that mud hole on Saturday night. And I'm thinking about it right now. Yes, I came to church. Yes, I brought a sacrifice. But I'm thinking about that mud hole I'm headed to. You say, preacher, how can I fix that? Well, the only way you can fix that is you need a heart transplant. Need a heart transplant. You got to get rid of your heart. Your heart's bad. You ever wonder why John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. There's a heart problem. Do you ever notice as somebody that gets a heart, how many of y'all have had open heart surgery? Open heart surgery. Bunch of folks. You know what you had to do? You had to trust the doctor that he knew what he was doing. You wouldn't for sure. I don't know if you checked where he went to school or not. But I would have. What was your grade, buddy? Did you just make a D? If you just made C's and D's all the way through, you ain't working on me. I don't care if you passed or not. I'm looking for a straight A student. If you go open my heart up, right? But this is what you do. I'm closing. This ain't even in the notes. This is all free right here. But when you took a heart transplant, this is what you did. You got on the table, and you laid down on that table. All right, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to let you do whatever you want to me, Doc. Just make me better. Y'all should have been shouting a long time ago. It's a lot of work for me to get down here and get up just to prove a point. When I got saved, I had a heart like a pig. I was in church. I was a preacher's kid. Man, I looked good. Man, I smelled good. Mama made sure I had a bow tie on and my shoes were polished and all of that. But one day I had to say, God, I need you to do an operation on me. You got to do an operation on me. And God says, yeah, I'll do an operation on you. But grace will have to do it. And so grace laid me down on the table. He opened me up. He took that old black pig's heart out. Grace says, we need a new heart to put in there. I don't know what we're going to do. We won't have one. That's when Jesus steps in the room and says, he can have mine.
He can have mine. He don't have one, he can have mine. And God just did a transplant. He took that old heart out. He gave me. Where do we always say? Jesus lives where? It's the heart problem. And when you get the heart fixed, you'll bring the right sacrifice. And you'll worship God in the right way. There's two ways to worship. Two churches. Ain't 14 dozen. There's two churches. There's two ways. And there's a heaven. And there's a hell. And there's no old in between. No. So, if you've never, as Sammy's come to the piano, if you've never had a heart transplant, if you've never had your heart worked on, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like Cain. You're here. That's good. I'm glad you're here. You're supposed to be here. You should be here. But what kind of offering did you bring? Oh, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about an offering. Are you here because you think that's going to do you some good as far as God's concerned? You think he's taking attendance up there in heaven? Well, I've only been once this month. I better go next Sunday. God ought to be mad at me. I'll have a flat going down the highway if I don't go next Sunday. He'll be mad at me. God ain't keeping record like that. I don't come to church, people. I don't come to church because I think I'm good. Y'all don't go get another preacher or nothing because the next thing you get is the same way. I don't come to church because I think you know what everybody says? They say, oh, you just think you're better than everybody else, don't they? You go to church, you just think you're better. Uh-uh. I think my sacrifice is better than everybody else's. I think my God is better than everybody else's. That's the key. You say, preacher, I need a heart fixer-upper. And Jesus Christ can be that doctor. You say, I don't have any money. I can't pay a doctor. He's paid it all. The charges have all been paid. It's free. Where can you get a heart transplant for free? From the hospital of heaven. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. God, I thank you for this story. I thank you for these two boys, God, that has showed us and demonstrated by faith. God, I want to live by faith. I want to walk by faith.